Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Okay, I know, I lead off these promos all the time talking about the cold weather. Yeah, it's been really cold. So instead of talking about that, we're just going to go to someplace really, really cold to get our next guest. From the Great White North, we've got Mike Pongrantz, one of the three Amiibos, and he's a very successful voice actor in the Canada area, and he'll be on our show, and we'll have a great discussion with him.
Very excited to have him on. I love getting guys from above the border. I'll be talking about microphone cables and just cables in general, what to look for, how to troubleshoot when there's a cable problem, and don't overspend. I'll tell you what to look for in cables when you go shopping for that next cable upgrade.
And in my tip of the week, I'm going to talk about something that really bugs me, and that's everybody way overthinking the process of a home voiceover studio. So join us Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in the chat room. That's where all the fun is. We'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
Where's my beer?
Oh, I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. All right. Well, we've discovered how to make this show even more jovial.
That's right. A little bit of liquid libations and always makes it more fun.
It doesn't hurt. Now, who started that? Oh, it was Larissa brought the...
Yeah, we kicked off the year right with...
it's like New Year's Eve just never stopped. Anyway. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. Once again, here we are live with an actual guest coming on tonight. We've got Mike Pongrantz, great friend of ours from up in Canada, and he's a fun guy, and, you know, with Canada, they're practically neighbors here in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I can throw a stone and actually, like, you know, almost hit him from here.
Although, maybe a really big slingshot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to say, I probably played hockey against him, but he would have been a kid when I was playing hockey, so.
Right, right.
But anyway, it's Monday night. What else are you going to do on a Monday night? Might as well join us. By the way,
yes,
we still have lots of clickers available. Although I have, if you're in Canada and you want a clicker, although I think we've actually sold, we sold the 20 people in Canada, all of our UAPS clickers. You know, it's expensive to send them to for one of these guys. I had to fill out another incomplete customs form.
Just so ridiculous.
You know, one was going to near Toronto, and the other one was going to Alberta, and I had to fill out a customs form for each one of them.
You know what
you
do?
People standing in line behind me, and
just wait till the wind is blowing the right direction. Let's attach a box of these to a weather balloon. And let it go and see where it lands in Canada.
I should just jump across the Peace Bridge, find the nearest Canada post, and dump it in there. Probably we'll be cheaper and faster.
You know what? We'll be smuggling via drone, I'm sure, soon enough.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that.
Uh-huh. Huh?
We'll be delivering our clickers by drone.
Yeah. In 3 hours or less.
Yes. Well, we got lots to rant about tonight. Lots of interesting stuff. You're going to talk about cables. Yeah, I can't think of anything more exciting than that. Mm. But we're surrounded by cables. See, if you saw what George's studio and my studio look, it's cables everywhere.
I know. I try my best to make it, you know, somewhat neat, but it doesn't stay that way. I zip tie things and I have to cut the zip ties all the time. So I don't bother zip tying and stuff anymore.
Yeah, just use a rubber band.
Yeah, or those Velcro strappy things.
Yeah, I got a bunch of those. Those usually help. Yeah. But you're going to talk about that. I've got something about keeping things simple. And then we've got Mike Pongrantz. And, of course, if you have a question, ask us in the chat room, and we'll be happy to answer them. Did we get any questions on our website at all this week? Or
we definitely got some in the inbox this week. I mean, I'm seeing emails that have a little red label that say question.
Oh, okay.
We got one from Kevin Katie.
KC Katie,
about Adobe Audition settings. He says, I'm inquiring about what settings I should use for the best quality broadcast recording using a MicPort Pro in Adobe Audition. I spend way too much time with noise reduction, de-essing, etc. And how do I save those settings in Audition for future recordings? I don't know. Is that one of those overthinking it questions?
That was actually one of the questions that led me to make my tip of the week this week.
I think so, yeah.
It was a way overthinking question because it brought up the idea about about broadcast quality. And the thing is with Adobe Audition, it's like you click the little file box that's right next to the setting and you save it as a custom setting and there it is.
Yeah.
You just call it up and call, crappy settings, good settings, settings on a humid day, settings on a hot, that sort of thing.
Right.
And that's how you would do that sort of thing.
Well, there you go. Well, that was the question. So good. We're going to address that question via a tip of the week.
Yes.
So very good.
So what's up with cables?
Man, it just seems like it's one of those things that's creeping up and causing problems in multiple client studios lately. So I figured why not talk about a little bit. We've done 100. This is the unofficial episode 130. Officially, maybe 129. There was one in there. I know I sort of skipped one.
Yeah, well, whatever. We'll go with 130. We'll make it up somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. So this is episode 130. We've talked about cables. We've talked about these things, but it never hurts to remind everybody, what to look out for when they're buying cables. So if you're keeping it simple, like Dan and I always say you should, then you probably have very few cables in your studio. You've probably got a microphone cable. And then maybe you've got a USB cable going from the USB interface to the computer. And then maybe you've got a headphone extension cable going from the computer to your headphones if your setup is far away from the computer. And that's probably what most of you have. But you'd be blown away how many times just those two cables or those three cables can be cause for problems. So let me start off with the microphone cable because that's something that almost everybody's going to have unless you're using a USB mic. So what do you look for in a XLR or microphone cable? Well, you can spend $10 on a microphone cable and you can spend $150 on a microphone cable. So, price and is it going to make a big difference in the sound quality? Chances are not at all. The things that really make a difference are how well the cable is actually built and how well the cable is shielded. And so those things are what's going to really affect the quality of the audio. Mic cables, keep them short as possible, as short as realistically possible. If your interface and microphone are within a few feet of each other, don't use a 25-foot long cable because the longer the cable is, the more it acts like a giant antenna picking up the radio station at the or the CB radio or the police transmitter on the local precinct building nearby. So keep your cables short. But get cables that are built well. And how do you tell they're built well? Well, sometimes it can be hard to tell just by looking. I tend to avoid the mic cables that have what's called a molded connector. And I should have some visual aid here for you, but I don't. But if you see a microphone cable that looks like it would be impossible to disassemble, those are what we call a molded connector. And they have the shield or the plastic sleeve that goes from the cable to the connector, but there's no screws and there's no way to disassemble them. Okay, those are molded connectors. Those are usually made in very, very large quantities, mass produced, usually very cheaply. And if they have any technical issues inside them, they usually go bad right at that molded connector joint. So they're generally good cables to avoid. Other cables that I would avoid are cables that come free with some equipment. Not all. Some of the mic cables that come with equipment are getting better. For example, if you do get a Harlan Hogan VO1A, little plug there for the microphone that Harlan put together, that mic is being made by MXL, and they're the parent company of Mogami. And Mogami happens to make fantastic microphone cables. So when you do buy a VO1A, you are getting a Mogami cable with the mic. So that is one of the very few exceptions to the rule. But in many cases, if the cable's being thrown in when you buy a mic or a mic stand, generally I avoid those cables. They often are not made nearly as well as they should be. There's a few surprise cables out there that are less expensive than the Mogamis of the world. You know, $30 to $40 a mic cable is pretty average if you go Mogami Silver or Mogami Gold for $50 plus. You know, you don't have to go to the Mogami Gold. Stick with Mogami Silver. It's fine. But one company that stands out lately in regards to cheap cables that seem to be made well and are getting a lot of good reviews out there are cables made by Monoprice. So if you haven't checked out monoprice.com, you're in for a rude awakening as to how cheap cables can be. When you see how inexpensive these cables are on their website, you're going to go, "Oh my God, I spent $48 for one of those and they're selling it for 12 bucks." But you'd be amazed. The quality is very good. And what's cool is they're actually reviewing the cables on there. You'll actually be able to read reviews by the users that use the cables. So you know you're getting something that people have used and liked. So Monoprice, it's a good place to get mic cables, and they make other types of pro audio cables as well. So that covers the XLR cable. And moving on to USB. Often the USB cable that comes with your interface, whether it be a Scarlett 2i2 or an M-Box, usually the cable that comes with it is the best guess or the best choice. And oftentimes the manufacturer will tell you specifically, "I hope you're using the cable we gave you," you know, with their product. But I find that's not always the case. That's one of the points of failure on a piece of equipment. These cables are mass produced, obviously in a factory somewhere at very low cost. And they sometimes are not tested when the equipment is being tested at the factory, when they're doing the little burn-in or testing to make sure it works. Those cables are just come out of a bin and they get thrown into the box and sometimes they don't work. So don't always assume that the USB cable that your equipment came with is good. Sometimes it's not and you may want to try another cable. A lot of equipment's using USB cables that are common to printers and hard drives. So if you've got any equipment around, you probably, or computer equipment, chances are you've got another cable laying around that's compatible and you can swap it out. Dan, I see you gesturing over there.
Isn't a USB cable a USB cable?
Some of them have those ferrite blocks on it. You ever get a USB cable that has a lump on it?
Oh, yeah. We can remove that.
Yeah, the MicPort Pro comes with a cable that has those little lumps on each end of the USB cable. And the DigiDesign M-Boxes used to have a USB cable that had a lump on the wire. And that's supposedly supposed to keep noise down, noise from getting from the computer into the device. Jury's out on that. I've tried them. I actually bought a bag of them so that you can snap them onto the wires. It didn't seem to fix the problem in the few times that I've tried it. But the ferrite chokes can be something you can try out if you're really desperate. But again, USB cables, keep them as short as you can. And if they get much more than 15 feet long, you often will have problems with your audio interface. So be real careful with those. For everything else, most other cables in your studio are going to be using or going to be passing what are called line level signals. That means the audio is traveling at a higher voltage than what comes out of a microphone. And so I find that they're not quite as mission critical as a microphone cable is. That said, never assume that a cable is good if you have any buzz in the system. And if you can replace and troubleshoot cables one cable at a time, it'll be a lot easier to figure out which one's at fault. Just recently, I was in New York and a client had a headphone extension and it was plugged into another headphone extension, which went into a splitter. And we just switched out devices until we figured out that one extension was causing one ear in his headphones to play half as loud as the other. So process of elimination really helps when you're troubleshooting these things. But use as few cables as possible. Use as few adapters as possible. If you can make the connection with the right cable rather than using adapters, that often solves a lot of problems. So I will put in one anti-plug. What's the opposite of a plug? Anti-plug?
A dig.
A dig. Monster Cable, they have the most remarkable marketing in the planet when it comes to selling audio cables. But I find their stuff to be grossly overpriced. Just ridiculously overpriced. And are the cables good? They're fine. Are they much better than somebody else's cables for the same price? Not a chance. So I don't necessarily automatically say buy Monster Cable. That's just fantastic marketing. So bravo Monster Cable, but they're just kind of ridiculously overpriced. End rant.
All right. Yeah, just to prove that I wasn't joshing you about the customs things, I actually have them in my hand here. I had to fill out two of them to send these guys to Canada. Anyway.
Yes. Well, actually, I'll tag one on because Jay Sawyer asked about balanced versus unbalanced.
Okay.
I mean, that's if your equipment is balanced audio compatible, like if the plug that you're plugging into says BAL, B-A-L, use a balanced cable. The one Dan was just showing you was an unbalanced cable because it only has a tip and a sleeve. A balanced cable will have three conductors. So that might be an XLR with three pins, or a quarter-inch connector. Yeah, that would be a balanced connector. Or a quarter-inch cable that has three ring, or has a, there you go. That would be a balanced connector.
I'm reading your mind, my
friend. Dude, I'm glad you've got all the bits in front of you. That's a balanced cable. So if you can use balanced cable, if your equipment's compatible with it, definitely use it. You'll almost always have lower noise when you use balanced cables. Yeah. Okay.
Great. See, I've got this magic drawer here.
Yeah.
Everything you could possibly need for voiceover is in there.
That's the back of my car times eight.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I got crap loads and bins and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But do you have one of these? Do you have where you've got every single connector ever desired.
Every adapter, yeah. Yeah, I got one like that, and then I have a Ziploc bag with nothing but XLR to fill-in-the-blank adapters. Every version of XLR to something you can think of, I have a Ziploc bag full of those. Yes.
I mean, and I've got them floating around here, too. It's quarter-inch to RCA plug.
Yeah, those are very common. So.
All right. Well, that was pretty thorough. I don't think we could have covered, you know... It's like NPR. Where else are you going to hear stuff like cables?
I could do an hour-long show on cables, but you'd all fall asleep. So I'm not, that's why we try to plow through it and keep moving.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we'll move on here then. Yeah. We've got lots more coming up. Mike Pongrantz will be joining us from Canada, the entire country of Canada he's in. And we've got my tip of the week coming up. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Danny did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
If you have studio problems, bring them here to eWabs. Let's get back to more problems with Dan Leonard and George Whittam.
Yeah, let's actually try and solve those problems if we can. They don't, you know, and it really comes down to things are actually always very, very simple.
Yeah.
We say keep it simple because it is simple. But we'll get into that in a second. It's great conversation about cables. They're the conduit between our vocal cords and... everything else, at least the analog connection, at least when you're talking XLR cables and stuff. Yeah. So it's important stuff to know.
If you're going to spend money on one, if you're going to splurge on a cable, spend it on the XLR, my cable. That's by far the most important.
Yeah.
$50 or you don't, if you spend more than 50 bucks, you're overpaying.
I find spending 50 bucks for an HDMI cable to be excessive.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I won't even get on the rant about digital audio cables. Yeah. Whatever. That's for another show.
Yeah, really. Okay. Well, let's get on to another topic.
Yeah.
Then. This is a bit of a rant. If I think both of it, you and I are both having kind of rough weeks this week. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it's just the way the moon is aligned or something. Yeah. Things were just annoying me. And then I was reading a few forums and getting a few emails from people. And I'm like, I got to stop this. And we came up with this tip of the week.
Right. Here we go.
Okay, time for another rant. I'm finding that too many of you are overthinking the process of a home voiceover studio. All right, let me restate a few home studio masterisms. 1. The purpose of a home studio is not to make you sound great, it's to make you sound like you. What do I mean? Okay, if you're a professional voice actor, you already should sound great. Having quality audio is no big deal. A couple of basics, and you're golden. I think what many of you are doing is trying to enhance your sound. If you don't know how, it doesn't make you sound great, but probably will do the opposite. But the fact is, any filters you might apply have to be minimal. They're all minor adjustments. Let me state another home studio masterism. 90 to 95% of the quality of your audio is dependent on your recording space's acoustics. Get your room acoustics right, and the rest becomes easy. That's why I harp on room acoustics more than anything else. A good condenser mic is a good condenser mic. If you use it right, you'll sound like you. No mic, no matter what the price, will help you interpret copy any better. Here's another. It's always best to physically eliminate or attenuate the cause of noise instead of electronically filtering it out. Those noise filters you guys keep trying to engage in Audacity and Audition and a few other programs are your enemy, not your friend. They really weren't designed for filtering out minor or even major background noise on a dry voice track. They're really for cleaning up interview audio that was recorded in less than ideal locations. It can rescue one of those, but it will destroy your sound. Let me demonstrate.
Okay, let me record with a lot of background noise and watch what happens when we try to get rid of the background noise using a noise filter.
We've talked about this before. There is no such thing as broadcast quality. Broadcast quality refers to the old analog standards. Good enough to be on the old Huntley-Brinkley report.
The major contenders for the Democratic nomination are all here. Kennedy, Symington, Stevenson, Johnson, so are the dark horses, but there's little talk of dark horses here tonight. Rather, the speculation centers on what ballot Kennedy is going to walk off with the prize.
Digital recording is a whole nother ball of wax. Getting a good quality recording is now a snap. Good acoustics, proper input levels, proper mic technique. Don't let the rest of this geeky stuff intimidate you. Keep it simple. And that's my tip, or tips of the week.
All right, maybe I wasn't too angry, but you know, sometimes when I like get angry or I get frustrated, I just try to be silly.
Yeah, better way to go.
The Huntley Brinkley thing, though, how can I show broadcast quality? Ah, and I thought that was an excellent example of. Plus the fact that Chet Huntley is like, Are we on? What? But, you know, you got to keep it simple. I mean, there's no question about it. And people, you just are so overthinking these things that, you know, it's they get geeky about it, and it's not that hard, you know, and you know, I find you've got the thing where you're always setting stacks for people and stuff. And
yeah,
I don't understand any of that. I mean, I understand it. I know exactly what it is you're doing. I just find that, you know, trying to get the best sound you can physically initially, the less you have to do.
See, for me, it's, I mean, my situation, I'm trying to help as many people as humanly possible in a given amount of time, right?
Right.
So it's like, it would be nice to make everybody have the same quality, baseline quality based on noise, floor, and all that stuff. But for me, it's like, I get so much time with these folks, and I have to give, you know, the most possible amount of value and impact, you know, that I can. And that's where those stacks really seem to have come into play for me, because I can say, well, this is what we're dealing with. It could really could be better, but with a little bit of polish in here and there, a little spit shine, I can fix some of these problems right out of the gate. And at least they're getting that value.
Right.
Is there more to do? You know, almost always there's more that we could be doing from the front end, from the room forward. But, you know, I find find that so many people find it very helpful to get that kind of a little spit shine, you know, on the voiceover track. I mean, I've been likening it to, you know, sending out headshots, and it's like, you wouldn't use a headshot that was shot with an iPhone. Just, you know, it's me, it's what I look like, you know, and I kind of look at it, I kind of liken it to that. And that's why I tend to go a little bit more polishing on the sound, you know, but not too
much.
They're
corrective things, though. They're not enhancements. You do it to correct things.
Yeah.
You know, if a slight acoustic problem or if a mic.
There's a little ring in the room. Yeah, there's a little bit of resonance at 110.
Right.
A little bit of EQ notch there.
Yeah, that's right. But if your studio's set up right, you really shouldn't have those kind of types of problems. Mm-hmm. Don't let the technology drive you.
Yeah.
I think is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I know Mike Pongrantz is just dying to get on here, and I can't wait to get him on, and we'll have a good time with him. And if you have any questions for him, like, you know, what beer do you drink and which Tim Hortons do you go to, this is going to be an absolute Canada fest, I can just tell. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop with Mike Pongrantz. So stay where you are.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
We're back here in East West Audio Body Shop. Our guest tonight, Mike Pongrantz, joining us from Brantford, Ontario.
Hang on, sorry. I got to get my theme music here. If you're from the northern areas, you'd know this is the theme to Hockey Night in Canada.
Canada.
Take off, eh?
So this is
That's a stereotype, George.
Show is going to be entire stereotypes. I am going to blast every stereotype known to the voiceover world about Canada in this interview.
This is Foster Hewitt at Maple Leaf Gardens, and we've got... See, I actually remember Foster Hewitt, so...
Wow. See, my earliest memories are, you know, Henderson scores! Henderson! And, you know, I wasn't even born then, so... But
I know. Still. Yeah, no. I used to watch Hockey Night in Canada in black and white. We'd have to turn the antenna towards Toronto.
Oh, my God.
That's we'd have awesome. To watch in my parents' room because that TV could get it because the color TV couldn't get it at all. But it was amazing to actually watch Maple Leaf Gardens in color.
I'm surprised you didn't have a... Toronto did it, you know, an antenna just for Toronto. You could flick a switch on the switch box.
Did you have one of those rotary dials?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rotary.
And of course, people in Canada were all watching Buffalo TV. They were all watching Irv Weinstein and saying that Buffalo was burning down.
Dan, I'm telling you, I grew up on Buffalo TV. I mean, everything that was good about being a kid came from Buffalo. Commander Tom. WUTV Channel 29. That was where, I mean, shows like The Great Space Coaster. I mean, that's that was good stuff. That's why I think I'm more Buffalo than I am Toronto, because I grew up so much. Irv Weinstein, Ed Kilgore. Wow.
Yeah, Ed Kilgore and his amazing toupee.
Oh, and I've completely dated myself now too. So it's
perfect. No, you actually haven't. But and of course you watch Channel 17.
Yes.
Did you have to watch Sesame Street?
I watched Channel 17 for Goldie.
Oh yes, I was there when Goldie was there. I was the board announcer at Channel 17.
No,
coming up next on Channel 17. Another fundraiser, and it was all Canadians donating to Channel 17
because we wanted to see Harry Chapin live in concert from Hamilton Place, because that was the only place you could see it. Yeah, and you'd have Goldie that would be like, "Oh, please, just for another $1.99, you can get this lovely tote bag."
Yes, and she's a lovely woman.
Mike
Collins, you know, he was not the J. Michael Collins that we know from Toronto. This is another J. Michael Collins who was a totally different kind of guy.
Well, hello. Anyway, thank you guys. I hijacked it right off the bat. Thank you.
No. We have a tremendous amount in common here. I mean, we grew up in the same backyard. It's practically.
And George is sitting there all quiet. Like, yeah.
Yeah. He'll just be the engineer tonight.
I'm just quietly laughing to myself. I don't want to distract from the show. I'm just sitting here giggling.
Anyway, but you're a kid and you've already had a great career. It's now, according to your website, you're a natural entertainer, which of course I can tell, with a great sense of comedic timing. And of course, what is the key to comedy? It's timing.
I thought you were going to jump the joke. My son actually learned that joke. I wanted to teach him that because he's not actually that funny. Well, he is funny, but I thought that would work for him. He didn't get the joke either. But
All right.
So yeah, no, I said yeah, no. So if you are in the chat room, part of tonight's interview involves the drinking game. Every time I say yeah, no, which seems to be a Canadianism. Or certain states in the Midwest say, yeah, no, you have to take a drink. So
probably in the college or something.
I apologize. Yeah, it's I've had a great run so far. I am still a bit of a pup, and being up in Canada is unique because we do have this inferiority complex, it seems, where you're not big until you make it south of the border, like Nickelback. See, crickets, that's perfect. That's exactly
crickets.
Exactly.
But I've heard of them, but...
Yeah. See, George is chuckling because he gets it. He gets the joke. No, it's wonderful, but, you know, being from Canada, you talked about the stereotypes. Most of it's unfounded, although there are some people on the chat room tonight who have lived in Canada and seem to think some of them are true. But I wanted to sort of let you guys and let the people watching sort of get a feel for where I am up here in Brantford, which is just outside of Toronto a little bit. I wanted to show you my house. This is my house here. Just wanted to
very nice.
Look at that. It's a lot bigger inside. It's more like a bungalow, really. It's like a split level.
Is it a TARDIS? style igloo.
Yeah, it's very nice. This winter it's been much easier to keep cool.
Natural air conditioning that way.
Yeah, absolutely. My car. See, this is the other misconception that people have about Canadians. They think that, you know, we drive these weird cars up here. This is my car.
Oh. It's eight dog power. Very good.
Yeah, I know that, you know, in the U.S. you like your horsepower. We go a little smaller.
Husky power. That's
actually my neighbor. His car ran away chasing a meat truck, so he had to take his kid to school. So it's great on gas from both ends.
Yep.
Now, you know, that's my one neighbor. The neighbor to the left of me, lovely fellow. Yep. He's in the middle. That's Jean-Guy and his two children on the outside, Sydney and Wayne. big hockey players.
Big hockey players.
And of course, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without my father. He's been an inspiration. And, you know, this is my dad. Yeah.
Sure. And good old number 99.
I actually put him in his King's uniform for George's sake.
Thank you. Yeah. That was very kind.
So that just, I wanted to blast some of the stereotypes that, that a lot of people have about Canadians and that I live in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, but most times it's just Toronto, Canada. So,
right.
Which is, you know, I am all of Canada right now.
And so. I just heard you say Toronto. I thought it was Toronto.
Yes. Well, I'm trying to mask my Canadian. It's Toronto, spelled T-R-A-W-N-N-A. Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah, oh. and it's Montreal, not Montreal.
Right. Montreal.
And this whole, let's get this out of the way right now. This whole about thing, that Canadians say a boot. I want to be the first to say you're saying it wrong.
Of course I am. It wouldn't be funny otherwise.
It's not a boot. If you want to say about the proper Canadian way, think Forrest Gump.
Okay.
And think that you're seeing a boat. Lieutenant Dan, there's a boat.
A boat.
That is the Canadian way. That's the proper pronunciation of about.
Right. Okay.
But I do catch myself saying about and house a lot more. And I think I have a lot of clients sort of in the southern states. Like I do a lot of work with the Richards group out of Dallas. And whenever we do work, I get the director. He's a wonderful guy by the name of Lennon Courtney, who always, he's like, Mike, you're sounding a little Canadian on those outs. So it's a lot of about and how and out.
Right.
Don't you have a copy of Pat Sweeney's official, you know, a Canadian to American dialect guide?
Pat Sweeney. Sorry, I don't want to hijack it even further. Pat Sweeney.
No, you're the guest. It's all you. Go for it.
I love Pat Sweeney. Now, this is how Canadian we are. So tonight in Toronto, it's a workout. There's a brand new voiceover space that opened up, Livingston Studios. Where tonight, most of the people that are involved with VO and TO, which is a local Toronto group of voice actors. I think, Dan, you've been out to a couple of the
VO and TO meets. I have. At the Frog and Peach or whatever the name is.
The Frog and the Firkin. That's right. And but tonight, there's a workout where most of those people are actually at the studio working on scripts and having
a good time. Thank God, missing this.
So there are no Canadians. Well, with the exception, I think Glad is on there, and I'm very glad that Glad is representing Canada. But Pat Sweeney's a wonderful guy. Pat Sweeney has a move that I don't know if you're aware of. It's called the Sweeney. At least this is what we discovered when we were in San Antonio at FAFCON. Pat is the ultimate meet and greeter. He's a conduit between strangers. So we were, you know, Garnet, a fellow member of the Three Amiibos, and I were down there, and we knew a few people through Facebook, but Pat, having been before, he knows the lay of the land, knew people, wanted to introduce us. So what Pat would do is he'll be talking, for example, he would be talking to, let me see, Melissa Krepps, who's a lovely, lovely girl out of Vegas. Awesome. He's like, hey, Mike, come on over here. Hey, come over here. I want you to introduce you to Melissa. Melissa, she's a voice talent. You know, Melissa does toy commercials. She's on the West Coast. You guys have a lot in common. And I'm like, hi, Melissa. Nice to meet you, Mike. And then Pat walks away.
Yes.
He just ghosts off. And then you're standing. It's like that awkward grade 9 dance where, you know, Mike, this is Samantha. And then away.
He's the Yenta of Canadian voiceover.
But he's brilliant. He's a wonderful guy. He's a lovely guy. We've had him on our, he was actually our inaugural guest on our podcast, the Three Amiibos Super Fantastic Happy Hour podcast. And just a lovely guy. And he's a great representation of the kind of, you know, Canadian voiceover talent we have up here.
I think it's time you tell everybody about the Three Amiibos a little
bit. Yeah, we're going to get to that. But
it keeps coming up, and people are saying the Three Amiibos?
Amiibos. Huh? The Three Amiibos.
The Three Amiibos.
It's kind of a nebulous kind of group, though.
The Three Amiibos is it's a trio because, you know, well, metric-wise, it's a trio. myself, Garnet Williams, another great voice actor and a friend of mine who lives just 20 minutes down the road, because everybody lives just down the road in Canada. He's 20 minutes down the road in Hamilton. And another super talented guy by the name of Dave McRae. We all belong to the same agency in Toronto. And we'd run into each other at auditions. We'd work sessions together. And we're all kind of in the same, we run in the same circle. We have a similar sound. Each guy has a little different thing they add to the puzzle. But we always ran together. And we would talk. And it became kind of our sort of little ranting circle. So, you know, Facebook, you know, hey, saw you there. How'd your audition go? Did you get this from our agent? You know, blah, blah, blah. And we just started to have this nice little chemistry. And I've known Garnet for years and Dave just sort of through work. So we started thinking, well, you know, we should really maybe combine our efforts under a brand and we could do a podcast. Oh, yeah, you know. So we decided to pool our efforts and do this global brand, but keep it Canadian because we wanted to sort of showcase and focus on some Canadian talent that sometimes don't necessarily get heard outside of Canada. So we did. We got together. We got toques made up and came up with the name The Three Amiibos, which harkens back to the Three Amigos and Marty Short, who was one of them. So that was kind of the inspiration. Yeah, and Amiibos, V-O's. There you go. So winks and nods, a good point.
How is it working out for you? I mean, has it been worth the? You know, you're establishing a new brand, so that means you have to have new marketing.
Yeah,
you got to do all. Is it been worth it? Do you encourage other people to kind of gather together and create these little, these little alliances?
Absolutely. And I mean, the big one that we looked at was the Voxy ladies, and what they've done is just fantastic, not only just for the voiceover community and as a branding for those ladies, but, you know, for what they do outside of voiceover, you know, their community work, their charitable stuff. So, I mean, we looked at that as, wow, that's brilliant. And, you know, there's other groups. There's a group on the West Coast, the Vox Stars. I mean, for us, it worked because it wasn't being done up here per se. And but we just have a good time getting together. I'm an old radio guy. Garnet's an old radio guy. Dave's father was a legendary broadcaster and journalist up in Ottawa. So there was that kind of background. So when we get into the studio, we work in Garnet's radio studio, which is Amiibo headquarters. Huh. And we do the show from there, and it's just a lot of fun. For me, it's nice because since I've gone full time and gotten out of radio, every once in a while, you know, it's nice to play. It's like other people's kids, you know, they're fun to have, and then give them back at the end of the day. So it's all the fun with half the guilt, kind of.
It's no question when you get voiceover people together, you're going to have a good time. We're a naturally creative bunch. And everybody, there's always something funny is going to happen when you get together.
Absolutely.
Do you guys plan out the shows at all? Do you like have a theme that you're going to have or?
Absolutely not. We try to line up guests that are we kind of alternate. We'll go with somebody local, a Canadian talent, and then you know some friends of ours that we've met that might not necessarily get interviewed or have sort of a presence. Online or in the greater community, and you know, because some of those people have some fantastic stories that you know just don't necessarily get out. And I'm a big fan of sort of chatting with somebody and learning something unique. Peter O'Connell, who's a fabulously talented guy, very funny. I had no idea that he lived in Fort Erie for a chunk of time in the summers. So, you know, I'm like, wow. So there's a Canadian connection there. Right. So that's we freeform it. There's a little bit of a structure. Garnet is an imaging producer by nature, so he's handled a lot of the flash for the shows. Dave is he's a funny guy, and I'm the maestro. I'm the old talk show, the ex talk show host who just likes to, you know, direct traffic. That's my thing. But no, it's fun. And I, you know, if you're a talent, we like the idea because, as again, Canadians, it's that inferiority complex. Nobody would really know who a Mike Pongratz or a Garnet Williams or a Dave McRae is out of the chute, unless you're a master social media marketer, or if you've got somebody like Celia Siegel who takes you and develops this great brand for you. So we figured, well, let's throw ourselves under a silly name, get some toques, be as Canadian as, you know, stereotypical we can be, and just have a little bit of fun. And I think it's worked on our behalf because, you know, I think a few people kind of know who we are or know what we do.
It's sticking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully. And so it's been fun. And yeah, the toques have come in really handy this year.
Yeah, it's kind of chilly.
Which you call, Americans have dubbed it the polar vortex. We call it just your usual Canadian winter.
I was going to say, you guys call it January.
Winter. Yeah.
It's January. That's exactly what it is.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you this, and not now, how is Canada different, but how is the Canadian voiceover community different, say, from the American voiceover community? Is there a cultural thing there that's a little bit different? I hear reports from Toronto that the people there they haven't quite caught on to the home studio thing yet.
Yeah. It's funny. I think Canada is very, you've got your pockets. If you go to the West Coast, it's a different style of talent. It's very laid back and not as rush. They seem a little, you know, a little calmer. You go to the Far East Coast and they're just lovely, lovely folks. Some of my favorite clients are, there's an agency out in the East Coast in Newfoundland. And I love doing sessions with them. If anything, just to hear them talk. Because it's very much, you know, oh, down there by the goose there, you know, got to get you on the spot there. And so it's wonderful. And then you have Toronto, which is it's very much a metropolitan. It's a big city. I think what a lot of people outside of Toronto don't realize is that there is a great deal of work in the voiceover community that comes through Toronto. And for me, it's wonderful. I'm about an hour or so outside of the city. So I get the easy access to the city if I need to be downtown, which is maybe 2-3 times a week. But then I can come out to the country, you know, well, Brantford's not really country. It's kind of country.
It's, and on the way here, it certainly is.
Yeah. And it's nice to have that sort of space. But there's a lot of stuff going on in Toronto. And I think sometimes it gets lost that it is a fairly major city when it comes to voiceover. It's maybe not New York. It's not LA. It's Chicago. I think we'd be on par with Chicago, maybe a little bit more. There seems to be a better, I want to say a broader mix between union and non-union work in Toronto. Yeah. So, but there's some wonderful clients, wonderful agencies, wonderful ad execs. They're very polite up here. They'll ask you before they use their Blackberries in a session. You know, excuse me, do you mind if I? No, you still have a room. This is still the typical. It's universal. That was a great take. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. You want to play back? I'm joking. They're lovely people. But no, I really it's a great place. I've had I've been doing full-time VO away from my last job for almost 3 years now. And a lot of my friends are ex-broadcasters or some that are still in broadcasting who look at me and go, really, you can make a living doing that? You're
yeah,
okay?
You don't have to go back? Yeah, they're mostly Shakespearean actors and, you know.
Yeah, well, and it's... And I say, you know, I came from radio where the salary, if anybody's ever worked in radio, outside of a morning show in a major market, that the bar of cost of living and what you need to live is really low. It's really low. So anything in voiceover above that was gravy. And it took me about 8 years to transition from doing both gigs to finally my wife saying, okay, pick one. And may I suggest that you go into your boss's office and take a dump on his desk? So that was, I'm not kidding. So that was sort of the last push for me to sort of say, okay, the scales have tipped in the favor of the voiceover, and there's a much better career and a better sort of promising future in that than in radio, where everything has kind of funneled into this consolidation, and the word synergy has become, you know, the big buzzword.
Yeah.
Which for me, it's sad, because a lot of my buddies that are still in radio, it's tough, and they look at voiceover as an option, as an out, without really thinking it through.
Out. You gotta consult the out. Pat Sweeney. There you go.
Out.
Nicely done. Nicely done. The All right, we're gonna take a break here, but I have two questions for you before we go to the break, and then we'll come back and answer some of our wonderful audience's questions. I've been asked to ask you, what is the tale to your beaver?
Garnet Williams, I hate you. Yes. The tale to my beaver is Garnet. He really is.
Okay. And what is the totem to your pole?
That would be Dave. Amiibo Dave.
All right.
It's so rude and so wrong in so many ways.
I know. I can't even remember who asked me to ask you that, but I figured I'd throw that in there. Just
Garnet
just,
Williams. Oh, no, that might be Trish or Glad.
It was Trish. It was Trish over a bucket of chicken wings at Duff's here in Buffalo.
Lovely Trish.
Yes. I was trying to remember where that was, and I was typing it now, like, why is it on my computer? Oh, yes, the cloud. That's why.
It's nothing compared to what's going on in the chat room right now.
It really isn't.
Wow. I never realized that's how you spelled poutine.
Yes. That was my misspelling.
Anyway, we got a lot more to do with Mike Pongrantz. We'll answer some of your questions. And so don't go away. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Show.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Et voilà, this is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Merci. Et maintenant, back to the show.
Wow. That doesn't sound
anything like French Canadian, though.
You know, that I wouldn't be able to tell. I don't know if Eric Mignot is in the chat room tonight. He's
M-I-G-N-O.
Oh, is that yeah, is that Mignot? Okay.
I'm assuming.
Okay, well, Eric and I, we have a bit of a connection. There's a restaurant chain up in Canada called Eastside Mario's, which is kind of the Olive Garden sort of flavor.
Of Canada, Yeah.
Famous in the 80s and 90s, well, I think more the 90s, for their jingle, which was Eastside Mario's, Eastside Mario's, hey, bada boom, bada bing. So
clever.
It's very clever. You'd be surprised how many people still remember that. For many years, somebody, a marketing genius there, decided, yeah, let's not use that anymore because nobody really, they won't miss it. Then I think sales dropped. Another company came back in and said, no, let's bring that back. So I was very fortunate enough to become the hey, bada boom, bada bing guy for their relaunch. And Eric Mignot is the French equivalent to me for Eastside Mario. So we've got to work together in the studio and sort of cross paths. And he is as French Canadian as it goes. especially when you chat with him in English. Lovely, lovely gentleman. I hope that's him there. Otherwise, we're talking nice about a guy who's not here.
Yeah, he said, yes, yeah. Hey, Mike.
Excellent. Yes, and I got my $3. Thank you. Quick story.
Did he send you three bucks on PayPal to mention his name?
No, this is, we were at a session. Now, Eric, he works in Ottawa. So that's about a 4-hour commute to Toronto. He came into Toronto to do a session, and he took the transit to the studio. Well, wouldn't you know it, he didn't have any money to get back. He didn't have any change to get back to the train station. So I had to give him $3 so he could get home. So that was the $3 that he always felt like he had to give back to me, and he paid it back. He's a good, honest French-Canadian voice talent. So,
all right. All right, well, we've got a couple of questions from our audience, and if anybody has any more, please throw them in the chat room, and our fine monitor, Anthony, will throw them into our document here. Devox, who always has a fabulous question, all says, right. In Canada,
yes.
Do you do a bilingual demo, bilingual as in French-English or Canadian-English, American-English?
I do not speak bilingual. I know I took French up till senior year. So my
can't remember a bit of it, can you?
I know enough to get by. I can fake it. I have the ability to mimic. And Garnet had a client once, Amivo Garnet, where they needed an on hold message, but they needed a French one. So he's like, Mike, can you do French? And I'm like, well, I can read enough. I can fake it. They bought it. So as far as French goes, I don't do French. It is a bonus to have that up here. There's a huge market. There's a few agencies in Toronto that specialize in French voiceover, and the talent that work both sides that can do English and French, they do very well. So if you can speak French, if you can speak it well, if you can read it well, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely a niche that may be underserved, especially in North America. But the one thing I always feel bad for the French people, the French VO talent that come in to do spots, we'll get the English and the English script. They'll be fighting to get it into 30 seconds. And then the joke is always, ooh, now we've got to do it in French. And the French is usually, you know, an extra 15 to 20 seconds just from the translation. So I don't envy the French voice talent sometimes, because I would think that some agencies, it sounds great in English, it'll work in English. Oh yeah, we have to translate it now. And it becomes, you know, a Dostoevsky novel or something like that. So
so the French Canadians are just used to listening to things really, really fast.
They speak very fast too.
It's coming on, Martha. We got to listen to it now.
Au bout! Le premier étoile, numéro 10, Guy Lafleur. Yeah. Everything I learned about French, I learned from Hockey Night in Canada and
watch
Dick
Canadian
Irvin.
Games. Yes, Dick Irvin and the announcer at the Montreal Forum, you know, at 28 seconds. Yes.
It was always the French and then the really broken English.
That's right.
Et toi, au bout, numéro 10, Guy Lafleur. Goal scored by number 10, Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, but so. No one would cheer. Like, he's staying out of freaking English now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. By the way, if anybody was wondering, because I am wearing, this is a Canadiens-esque jersey, the Hamilton Bulldogs, the AHL farm team for the Montreal Canadiens, so which is just down the street. And I got a chance. Well, I worked in Hamilton at a radio station for a number of years, and we were partnered up with the hockey team. So I've got to see a lot of promising young NHLers start in the minors and make their way up. So if anybody's wondering, there you go.
I used to watch the Hamilton Red Wings on Channel 11 on CHCH.
Wow.
Oh yeah, wow. got to see some great talent that made it big in the NHL too. So
speaking of seeing cool stuff, Karen O'Brien wants to see your booth.
Your booth.
See, this will be a little different. I don't know if I can make this happen without a thing. It's right behind me here. Let's see. Okay, let's do one of these. Hopefully, we do not disconnect.
It's a touch.
Yeah. If you can see anything in there,
yeah.
Got my little stand and my wonderful mic, and it was. It was custom built a friend of mine from college who actually we went to broadcast college together. He was smart and didn't stay in it. A wonderful carpenter and a construction guy. So when we moved into this place, one of the first things I wanted to do was I had an open space, blank canvas. I had him come in and build me a custom booth. So it's excellent. My father, who's an upholsterer by trade, we had our sort of late years father and son bonding moment building the panels, which are Owens Corning sheets.
Yeah.
And the wood frames around. So that was a nice little father and son bonding moment. It's a wonderful space. When my children were very small, when they were having tantrums, put them in there, can't hear a thing. It was awesome.
Outstanding.
One of the best reasons to have a voice booth that's sound isolating if you have young children.
AKA panic room.
That's exactly it. It's where I hide when my wife is yelling my name. And close the door.
Sorry, honey, I couldn't hear you. I was in my booth.
That's right.
But it was important. I was just going to say it was important for me because I do work on a U-87, and those things need to have a very nice space in order to work as well as they do. So
very nice quiet space, yeah.
Yes, right. Yes. And, I mean, that was, again, I know you talked about, Dan, everybody overthinks the studio, which is absolutely, I 100% agree with you on that, that if you overthink it and just a nice, a good, solid space to record. For me, over the years, I was taught early on, when you start making money in the business, invest back into the business. So for me, it was, okay, I wanted to upgrade my microphone. And it got to a point where I'm like, well, I work with a lot of studios in Toronto that work on the U-87. If I have to do pickups from home, I'd like to be able to have equipment that, you know, chain-wise, matches a little bit better so that the engineers on that end don't have to do a lot of playing around. And I can get away with, you know, doing a patch from home.
So what are you running your mic into?
I run it into an Avalon M5, which is I love to death.
Yeah.
I used to work on a Grace M101, mm-hmm. which also nice and clean. It was a lovely chain. But then I, again, as years went on, Joe Cipriano, I blame him because I saw his get up and I've always been a big fan of Joe's and I saw his chain. It sounds so good for him. And fortunately, I mean, the 87, it works for my voice. So it wasn't one of those. I bought it and then was like, oh, it sounds like crap. I should have kept the old one. But it goes into that. And then I run a Overkill. I run a Steinberg MR816 CSX Firewire interface, which was on suggestion by my brother-in-law, who's a bit of a music engineer, and he had one. He loved, you know, stay with the Firewire. You love it. It's great. And so I upgraded from the Digio 2, well, at least I say upgraded, from the Digio 2 to that.
Yeah. That's and not keeping it simple.
No.
That's not.
At this point now, you know, like George said, and I've done my video because a long time ago, I contacted George because, again, my brother-in-law, who I think fosters most of my gas, he was talking about the Gap. What is it? The Gap pre
73, yeah.
73, that's right. Huh. And I was humming and hawing. I thought, oh. So then he actually bought one and let me borrow it, and I'm glad I stuck with a nice clean chain.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the audio that I ship out really has to be it's got to be clean, and I'm a big fan of sort of mixing in the box. So everything going in, if it's nice and clean, there's less to sort of putz with afterwards.
Do you do any process? Dan and I were chatting about this a little bit before, you know, during the show. Do you do any processing to the audio? Do you have a magic sauce? A preset, a template, anything that you add on, or do you really go out raw?
Well, it depends. I do have some clients. I do a fair bit of TV imaging up here for a couple of the cable channels or specialty networks. And I find that a lot of the guys, there's some great producers on their end, but they're not really audio people, and they don't really have time to sort of sit and find that perfect mix. You know, like I see Steve Tardio's on here. There's a guy who will take the time to make sure the audio sounds good going in. A lot of these guys, they're very creative, but they've got, you know, a whack of stuff to do, and they just prefer me to ship stuff that I sound the best on. So over the years, I've mixed, I've matched, I've done a little bit of stuff. I've got my effect stack in Twisted Wave for each of the stations to what they like and what sounds good with them. And then I'll use that for them. But for straight e-learning, for any explainer stuff, anything that doesn't need a lot of that heavy sort of compression, I like to keep it clean because, again, if they want to mess with it on their end, there's less for them to have to fuss around with.
Yeah.
So it's always a good rule of thumb. I've never touched audiobooks, so
good point. Yeah. J.S. Gilbert, who will be with us next week.
He's a funny dude. He's been funny in the chat room tonight.
Oh, he's a riot in there. Well, he'll be actually in George's studio next week with us here in East West Audio Body Shops. You don't want to miss that. But he asks, do you play much in the U.S.? Do you have an American agent or read for American clients?
I do, actually, which, again, I think it's part of there's a bit of the Toronto factor. And also, when I started into voiceover, with my agent would be around 2004, the Canadian dollar was still very, very weak against the American dollar.
Canadian
dollar's weakest. Yeah. It was 60 cents on a dollar at some point there. So, there were surprisingly a fair amount of American clients that were looking up here. One of my favorite, long-term clients is a cable company out of, they're out of the South, Suddenlink, which is like a Comcast, that type of deal. Amazing group of people to work with. And yeah, they were my first big foray into having sort of a long-term US type gig. And as the years have gone on, yeah, I do some toy stuff. Again, a lot of stuff out of Dallas, it seems. Especially the toy commercials, Hasbro and stuff like that. I do have some U.S. representation, not as much as maybe I'd like to. But again, it's a tough road to haul. I find from a Canadian perspective to get American representation that is willing to take the chance on working with somebody not local, because they have to really trust your home setup and that the goods that you're delivering are as good, if not better, than somebody that they can find that might be a little closer. But I've had some success. I, again, would love to do a little bit more. The challenge I'm having, and this is something that I had a good chat with Joe Cipriano about, was up here in Canada, I'm still considered non-union. That's the bad word, because there seems to be a fair bit more work non-union up here. So, whereas if I'd like to play in the States a little bit more, I almost feel like at this stage now it's time to look at, the SAG-AFTRA route.
Yeah, it depends on the market you're working in, of course.
Yeah. But it's good. I really enjoy working with the U.S. clientele. Once they get past the whole oot and a boot and the Canadianisms, which is another big challenge. Not so much for people in Ontario, maybe out in Vancouver, it's not as bad as well, with the proximity to, how close it is to the major centers in the States. Out in the East Coast, I would imagine it's a tough haul to disguise that East Coast accent for Mid-Atlantic English.
No, Mid-Atlantic English is very, very specific. We'll have to have somebody from Baltimore here one of these days and have them explain to you Atlantic English.
Yeah, because Philadelphia.
South of Philadelphia. I mean, in Maryland, I confuse people in Maryland as I think they're from Cornwall or something. And I'm talking England, not Cornwall, Ontario.
Cornwall, Ontario? What?
No, not Cornwall, Ontario. Where they sound more like you. Anyway, Mike, it has been fabulous having you with us tonight. I can't wait till we get together again. It was so much fun when we were together in San Antonio and hanging out at the airport. And
that was a highlight, definitely. The waiting for the airplane. Celia Siegel, Amivo Garnett. It was lots of fun, and almost missing our flight. Because Garnett needed to have his huevos rancheros.
Which were pretty good, actually.
They were very good. But no, it's been a lot of fun, and I wanted to quickly just sort of say we didn't get to touch on it. Somebody had asked me or sent me an email, you know, talking about my background, which is in radio. I wasn't an announcer; I was more of a producer and a copywriter. If there's one thing I would suggest to voice talent that seems to kind of fly under the radar, if you can, take a copywriting course. It is one of those unique things that you might not have had a chance to do. But I find one of the best things that I brought from the radio business, aside from not having the true announcer voice, was having that background as a copywriter and being able to go into auditions, cold reading, and having an idea of what the process the writer was going through to get to that. So
and casting and all that kind of stuff. As a production director, and I was a copywriter too. It really it makes a difference when getting into voiceover.
Absolutely. And learn your tech stuff, people. Learn your tech stuff. Know how to work a DAW. Know how to, you know, those are extra little tools that have definitely...
Know what a DAW is.
Yes. Know what a DAW is. Yes.
Yeah. We figure if they've gotten into the show, they've probably mastered that kind of stuff.
We hope. Yeah.
It's not easy to get in and watch the show sometimes.
You'd hope so. But, I mean, that definitely is, for me and for how my career and being able to do a lot of the stuff from, you know, the outskirts of Toronto, is a lot of the e-learning, explainer stuff, long-form narration, being able to edit stuff and to record it and to, you know, to be the one-stop shop really has been a benefit for me. So especially if you're a talent that's not in a major city that doesn't have that kind of access, being able to do all that stuff, learn it. There's so much good stuff on the web. George has a number of tutorials that you know, you'd be silly not to spend some time learning on it. Invest in that as well. I mean, it's cheap.
Yep. Oh, all right. Yeah. One last thing here. We need you to comment on this particular piece of.
I love it. I love it. That is the ultimate quote. That is the 1967 Maple Leafs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
My head is pasted on George Armstrong, who's the captain. Wait,
you sort of look like George Armstrong with the short hair there too.
I don't know. I think you, Dan. I want to say you're Larry Hillman.
I think you're right. That's
George
Teeter Kennedy, I believe.
And is George Marcel Provenost? I don't think so.
We're just throwing these names around. <It's freaking> hilarious.
But it's funny because earlier today, is Bill still in the chat room? Hang on, is Bill still there? Bill Lord, who said, why do you call it the Maple Leafs? Shouldn't it be Leaves? And I've had this question asked before, and the story, as I'm to understand, goes, when Conn Smythe bought the Toronto St. Pats in 1927, he changed the name to the Maple Leafs, which was in honor of the World War I Fighting Maple Leaf Regiment, which would make it a proper noun, and in grammar, a proper noun, when you pluralize it, you just add S. So Maple Leafs instead of Maple Leaves.
Uh-huh.
That's my story. Sticking to it.
Yeah, and you better stick to that. All right. That makes total sense.
Hey, I'm Canadian. Would I lie to you?
Why would you even have to?
Anyway. Hey, we got an entire interview without talking about Rob Ford and Justin Bieber.
Yay.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we saved that for the pre-show.
Right.
It's good. It was good.
I think he's gotten enough airtime in the States in the last couple of months anyway.
That's
what
for sure.
Interesting guy.
More than we have. So
that's true. Well, Mike, thanks for being with us tonight. Looking forward to being with you again soon. And keep it real up there.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And by the way, thanks to Graham Spicer for hooking us all together and putting the bug in your ear. I really appreciate that. So
excellent.
I'll say cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
Have some soy sauce there, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Take off, eh?
Yes, literally. Would you take off?
I'm taking off now, okay?
Yeah, go get some donuts and some back bacon.
I can use my real voice again, eh?
That's
good.
Go.
I'm going to go get some Tim Hortons. All right.
You sound like you're like Gretzky that way, actually.
Yeah. You hosters have a good night, eh? And cheers to everybody in the chat room.
All right. Okay.
All right. Take off, eh?
Take off.
Good day.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night. All righty.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Awesome.
All right. Well,
boy,
we, We could go on forever.
Oh, what a good guy. Fun, yeah. too. Just funny, oh, yeah. dude.
Yeah. Genuine. We'll have to have him on again.
Absolutely.
As opposed to some people we've had on, but we won't mention any names.
Right.
Although I must say, and then somebody we need to have back on, guess who I ran into on Saturday?
Who?
Dr. Bernstein.
Oh, yes.
And so we have to get
new
him back.
Year, new time to have doctor on. The it's doctor. Time.
It's been almost a year since we had him on. He was on an eight. So we'll have to have him on and cover some other amazing medical thing, and everyone will be fascinated.
Going in for a yearly doctor visit.
That's right. Let's take a look at our throats. Anyway, let's see what we got coming up. Next week, as we mentioned, J.S. Gilbert, mm-hmm. you're all staring at in the chat room, will be with us, and hopefully if he can find his way to your place. The following week, we've got Eric Shepard, my agent, and a lot of people's agents, actually.
Cool.
He's going to talk about how you get an agent. And there's something in there about getting him cufflinks or something along those lines. and then somebody else who got mentioned tonight, Celia Siegel, who is a former agent and now a voiceover marketing person, who also shared our Wavero Rancheros in San Antonio a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Great gal, and she'll have some great stuff to tell us. And then the first Monday in March, it's like February already. March is coming up. We're going to do our Audio Masters Roundtable with our usual crew with a couple of guests in there. So don't miss that kind of stuff. And remember to buy your clickers, just not in Canada or any other foreign country. No, should please. No problem. We'll get them to you.
Should we mention Harlan?
We got to mention Harlan because we still got everybody still watching the show. So we got to talk about.
Sorry about that, everybody. That shot had no audio on it, making it very, very difficult to hear me. So let's fix that. Coming back to that, and take two. There we go. So the mic stand is a very, very important part of the home studio or any studio, and often can be overlooked or cheaped out on. Don't cheap out on the mic stand, please. One of the venerable brands is the K&M microphone stand. I believe they're made in Germany. Sometimes they're branded AKG, and they are built to last. They are made out of steel. They are heavy, and they will stay where you put them. And that's really important. So that's the kind of stuff that you're going to find on Harlan's website, VO or voiceoveressentials.com. He's only going to carry products that he has proven or knows to work well for the voiceover user. You're not going to get any junky or low-end equipment. Even if it's something inexpensive that he sells, it's still going to be one of the best products for the job that you can get. So it's a great one-stop shop for a lot of different parts and accessories, and as well as some of his own unique and exclusive products like the Portabooth Pro, the Portabooth Plus. And if you do get stuck with a cheesy mic stand and you don't want to make an upgrade, or it's you just fallen in love with that stand, I don't know. Maybe that stand just has a little bit of a sagging boom problem, which we all know about.
You might
want to check out the ABS, the adjustable boom stop, so you can make your own mic stand stop sagging. It attaches to the back of the boom and connects to the leg and holds it up for you. So very unique product, a problem-solving device that Harlan came up with, and it's $19.95 over at voiceoveressentials.com.
Can't mess with that kind of price, and great stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm so proud of you, George. You don't realize it. You just mastered the live spot.
Thank you, man.
That's really impressive. 130 episodes, and you've gotten better and better.
Thank
and better
you, man. That's been a cool side effect of doing this show. I just gotten so much better at just speaking off the cuff and speaking more comfortably. And it's been a lot of fun. It's really, it's been education, a lot of fun doing it with you. And it's certainly made it easier for me to just improvise and sound polished. I'm avoiding as many hums, ums, and ahs as I possibly can.
What? Oh, okay, yeah.
But anyway, thanks, Harlan.
Thank you, Harlan.
Tell him we sent him, tell him that we sent you,
right.
And he'd love to hear from you. And thanks for supporting the show for so many years, going on 3 years this March.
Wow. 3 years. Jeez.
Man.
I can't believe it. We've almost been on for 3 years.
I know.
Go watch episode number one if you can.
Yeah. See how far we've come, please.
Yeah, we're really. Yes. Well, we're starting to stretch it out again.
Yes, we are. Like, oh, gosh, it's such a habit of ours. I can't help it.
I know. Last summer we said we're going to keep it to an hour. Well, yeah. That lasted about 2 weeks.
Once we get going, we have so much fun doing the show, and our guests are such a blast. It takes an unbelievable amount of discipline to cut the show off. So we apologize to those, but thanks for hanging around, those that have, and what's left to say?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, of course, to our donors, Eric Aragone.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eric.
Who's, believe it or not, he donates every week, and you should too.
Wow.
You know, what a great deal this is. NPR is in their fundraising this week. So I'm like constantly, you know, well, yeah, we're going to get to that story about the end of the world, but first.
Yes, that's right. Buy this tote bag.
That's right. You get a t-shirt. You can wear it very long. But, you know, get your Car Talk t-shirt. Yeah. But you can donate to the show. You get it for free, but we don't produce it for free. We do need a little help. And if you want to donate to the show, there's a donate button on the front page of our website here, and that will help. Is the donate button right above you, actually, on our streaming? It is. It's right below the logo.
There you go.
So you can, if you want to donate, whatever you feel is appropriate. And, of course, buy our clickers, $5 a piece. They're great. We got to come up with some more swag for people to
and
put in their collections.
Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and
YouTube.
Yeah, like the videos and you know, just spread the word. If you like what we're doing, tell everybody. We'd love to keep spreading the word about the show and getting a wider audience in here. So we'd love to share our brand of our corner of the VO world with everybody else. So tell your friends.
As narrow a corner as it is.
That's right.
Anyway, and of course, we'd like to thank our wives for putting up with this week. After week, after week, and I think that's going to do it for this week. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week with J.S. Gilbert. So take care.
Stay warm.